I became aware that I was no longer in my body. I was unaware of driving, but I existed only in this state of consciousness. And I ended up feeling that as I went with him out of my body, that after that, my entire focus was on experiencing what I term infinity and eternity.
My guest is Paula Lenz. The book Driving Into Infinity is extraordinary because it shares an experience of having someone very, very close to you die, and then having a look, a glimpse into what the experience was like for them. Okay, we've talked about this before, and the show is in the archives, Wendy's Coffee House on Audio Boom. But I wanted to get back with Paula because she had something happen after we spoke the first time that takes us to another level. And the other thing is when this happens, period, all of a sudden your life is like rewritten. Everything that you had thought before might be impossible, that goes out the door because you've experienced the impossible. So Paula, I'm glad you're still talking. I'm glad you're still having these really extraordinary experiences. And I'm glad you're here today to kind of refresh us on everything that's going on, because really, really, you have an extraordinary outlook because of your brother that kind of initiated all this. So how did everything start for you with this driving into infinity?
In 1983, my brother was suddenly and unexpectedly killed in a truck train accident. And he was 26 at the time. I was only 30 years old. And my brother and I essentially shared our childhood growing up. So we were very close. And when that happened, just suddenly one day he's dead and gone. I just was completely destroyed. And so, of course, going through the funeral and everything was excruciating. But essentially what happened to me was 3 days after his funeral, Donnie ended up coming back to me while I was driving. And I was still in my hometown, and I actually was driving his personal truck. And I'm driving to my grandparents' house that day with some flowers to give to them from the funeral. And about halfway there, suddenly I developed 360-degree vision. I could see everything around me. And I thought, what is happening to me? And before I really could even think too much about it, I see my brother, his spirit, at my right shoulder area as I'm driving. And he looked like a pattern of light. And again, he was speaking to me telepathically. And he told me not to be sad, that he was happy. And most of all, he wanted me to know a little bit of what life was like for him now. And he explained to me that he was on another plane of being, and that it simply had been time for him to leave. And at this point, I became aware that I was no longer in my body. I was unaware of driving, but I existed only in this state of consciousness. And I ended up feeling that as I went with him out of my body, that after that, my entire focus was on experiencing what I term infinity and eternity. And so throughout this entire experience, my brother stayed with me, but with no body, I felt that I was completely one with the universe, and that I was totally one with peace, with love and all knowledge in the universe. And I wasn't just thinking about these terms, but I actually, in this state of being with my brother, I had actually become all of these things. And I knew in my consciousness, everything and everyone is one with this spirit of universal love. And that love is the all-encompassing, caring, and creative element of the universe. And I understood in those moments, too, that there's no separation of anything from this all-encompassing spirit or God. There's many names for that. But all we have to do, really, is to open up to spirit and allowing this supreme consciousness and love into our own consciousness. And again, understanding that everything and everyone is this spirit of universal love, and that we are all, everything in the universe entirely is connected. There's nothing about this universe in any way, shape, or form where anything is separate. And I really loved being in this state of total consciousness and experiencing this freedom. And I did not want to go back to my body. I knew I was out of my body. I didn't want to go back to my life. I just felt like this was my natural state of being. And I had no desire to do anything except to experience more of this state. And the feeling that I had was that this was home to me. And as I desired to really go deeper into this experience and not go back, I felt myself, it was as though I felt I was whooshing away very rapidly. And now my brother, his spirit was still there with me as this started happening. I could actually hear this rushing sound. But when that started to happen, my brother, I can only describe it as my brother's spirit, I'll say, was pushing down on me. And my brother said to me, "No, you can't go yet. It isn't your time." And then very suddenly, I'll say with a feeling of a thud, I could see myself as I came back down. I could see myself driving the truck as I was heading to my grandparents. And I saw myself going through the ceiling of the truck and coming back down into my body. And when it almost felt like I just landed back in my body. But for the rest of that day, I just felt so happy. You know, I wasn't in this state of terrible depression and just such sadness. But after that one day, I did fall back into that because I just missed my brother so much. But my life after that, as far as how I knew it before and after, my life was completely changed, obviously beyond the loss of my brother. But I began to experience what I call after effects, in that for a while I could hear people's thoughts. And I, in the evening, if I walked down the street for a little evening walk, I noticed that street lights would go out as I passed by. I learned that I could see people's auras if I, you know, took a moment to concentrate on that. And I also experienced moments of guidance and intuition, knowing what to do in a particular situation. I think I had mentioned this one before about saving my family from carbon monoxide poisoning just because I was being guided on what to do and what was happening. Mm-hmm. And many other things about changing my career path and so on. On occasion here and there, once or twice, I did see my brother in my house, and he did do various things in my house that let me know he was around. You know, all of those were things that were detailed in my book. There was a lot that happened like that, even from the very beginning after this experience with him.
Quick break, and then come back into the after effects of what happened with that shared death experience. The thing about these kind of things is that isn't where it ends. That's basically the beginning. Paula Lenz, Driving Into Infinity, Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio.
I could see that this energy had just penetrated me so much to the core. I could see my cells releasing all of this energy that I had stored up for my whole life.
Paula Lenz, Wendy's Coffee House. Something happened after our initial interview.
That's right. And again, you know, as time has gone on, I continue to have just a variety of kinds of, I'll say, events or visions or whatever that happened to me. And so I was completely taken by surprise at the end of the first interview that we had together. That was after we had done with the interview and you and I were talking on the phone. And suddenly, as you and I are talking, I was transported, I'll say, into this white space. And it became very difficult for me to hear you on the phone. I was in this white space and I was trying to say to you, Wendy, Wendy, something's happening to me. I don't know what's happening to me. But I don't think you heard any of that. And so in the meantime, this white space experience continued to develop. I began to see within this white space area. It was almost like a circle had been drawn with a rope or something. And within that circle, then it was like divided, almost like pieces of a pie. And so I was suddenly standing in one of those pieces of the pie. And to the right of me was my mother. And she was sitting in that portion. And she was, to me, she looked like this big Buddha. And she was staring straight ahead. And I was told within this space that my mother was not allowed to move or say anything. And to the left of me were three figures. And I came to understand, even though I was never allowed to directly look at them, I knew that it was my deceased brother, my dad, and my grandfather, all deceased, and the grandfather, that was my mother's father. So I need to add a little bit of clarity to about why this whole thing ended up happening. But my mother and I was the oldest. My mother, you know, she would be all happy and on top of the world for a couple of days at a time. This was through my whole lifetime. And everything would be great. And, you know, I was the star and I could do no wrong. And then she would wake up one morning and she was just angry at everybody and everything was wrong about her life and she would blame people for things. And, you know, this was a pattern that went on for the rest of her life, essentially. And this is what I grew up with. So it was always at some level an issue about her in my life, even when I was completely grown. That's the explanation of the background there. Mm-hmm. But as far as this experience I had as you and I were finishing up and finding myself in this white space, I actually saw myself getting up from where I was sitting in this white space. And I walked over to my mother and I dropped at her feet some of my accomplishments, okay, which is kind of what I did all my life to try to always keep her in balance. And as soon as I dropped these accomplishments at her feet, immediately I felt a shock, like an electrical shock through my whole body. And I drew in my breath sharply as I completely, in this multidimensional way, experienced that this was absolutely the wrong thing to have done my whole life, that it had been wrong for me and my body. And again, this is what I had been doing all my life. And so in this way, I had hoped to keep away and end, you know, kind of forever, these rages she would end up in at me and other people. But when this happened, I knew how wrong I was about that, and that I had wasted all this time believing this idea and being controlled at a deep level by this thinking, of which I was completely unaware of. And as a result, I came to understand through this experience that I knew this is how I had lost, to some degree, my self-power all these years.
Yeah.
Because my whole life, I spent my life trying so hard to control, keep it all together for me and everybody around me and everyone who has been in my life. It's like I tried to make everything perfect at all times. And so in this scenario I'm in, I continued experiencing all of this in a multidimensional way, not just hearing, but being, experiencing, knowing, seeing. And I continued to have trouble hearing what you were trying to say to me, Wendy, as I was experiencing this. Honestly, I don't even really remember saying goodbye and hanging up. I just have no idea how that all concluded. But during this time in this white space, so everything that my mother had ever done to me throughout my entire life started being removed from my body energetically. This is while you were still on the phone with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know that all that disturbing negative energy from her had been stuck in my body for my entire life. So as you and I exchanged comments at the end, and, you know, I began experiencing this very strange feeling in my lower legs, and I could feel the tension in my muscles releasing. And this tension, like I had never known, was there. And so you and I said goodbye, but this tension kept releasing from me, creeping up through my entire body. And this was happening at a cellular level. That's what I knew. I could see that this energy had just penetrated me so much to the core. I could see my cells releasing all of this energy that I had stored up for my whole life. I could see it and I could feel it. You know, I just said to myself, gee, no wonder I am so tired right now going through this process, because, you know, I had always tried to keep everything on an even keel with my mother. And I'd been carrying and being and living in this pattern at that time for 66 years of my life. Wow. That I never understood was there and just stuck in me. But it took 3 full days for all of this energy that had been stuck in me, for it all to be released. I mean, in fact, after you and I hung up, I could barely make it to the bed. I was so tired, and I just fell asleep and slept for quite a while. But essentially, it took 3 full days.
Wow.
Before everything came out of me at a cellular level. Now, I don't know why this happened as you and I were talking. do you have any insight into this, Wendy?
That is so not fair. That is so not fair. I think whatever was required at the time, however our conversation was unfolding, you had some kind of an epiphany that gave you permission to let go. I mean, you know, I would consider that being you tightly wound, all right? And at the core, when you were finally ready to admit that you didn't need to have that, you didn't need to carry the baggage for somebody else anymore, then you were able to let go. And this thoughts, minds, you know, the words that you were saying at the time, whatever it was a trigger that gave you permission to remember and release and in some way, shape, or form heal all of that. My guess is your mom was bipolar. It sounds like, you know, that hot, cold, and she wouldn't have no control over that. That's mental illness.
Yeah.
So, but at the same time, people who are around that, having had a familiarity with that, you take it on yourself and you don't realize and you can't fix them. It's not your job to fix them, but it is your job to understand that the healing is necessary because the wounds are still there.
And we have to take a break. Author Paula Lenz is my guest. Shared near-death experiencer, and then even more beyond that, Wendy's Coffee House. So that experience, basically out of body in a different dimension, your relationship with your mother changed after that.
It was just an amazing experience to me. And even now, you know, I do talk to my mother here and there, although now she is in assisted living and she has dementia. But I find that I no longer, when I think about her or think about my life, or, you know, when I do talk to her here and there, I find that I have absolutely no connection with her.
Yeah.
At an emotional level. It's like, because it's just not there anymore.
You healed it. Yeah, you're not reacting. The thing would be like walking on eggshells, wanting to make sure you didn't do anything wrong. If you feel your body when I say that, walking on eggshells and the stiffness that comes with that, years of that, my gosh, you're talking a lot of health issues.
I'm surprised I'm as sane as I am after all those years, but I've always been a pretty practical kind of person and have always tried to do my best in whatever is happening in my life. But you know, it's amazing to me. And I'm unsure why. I mean, like you said, you know, that got triggered, mm-hmm. but I just, ever since that first interview with you, I have thanked you mentally. Like, I don't know why this happened, but somehow the energy that we had, for whatever reason, came together and it allowed this to happen. And for the first time in my life, you know, after that happened, I suddenly felt like a whole person, you know, something that I'd not really experienced probably in my whole life. You know, there's always been a part of me that's felt like whoever I'm with or whatever I'm doing, that I have to be the best, that I have to be sure everybody's okay. You know, and now I'm just so much more relaxed and I don't have to feel that way anymore.
There's a centeredness about, even though you question, well, how and why and what, but there's an acceptance that comes with that. And that with that comes relaxing, releasing, allowing. All of the things that give us, in some way, shape, or form, confidence that it's okay. It's okay for me to be who I am. Boy, that's a tough one. That's a tough one a lot of people struggle with. I'm not okay. That's a big, big, big one. And you got permission to be you and not have to try and carry somebody else's burden and try to fix them. And for whatever way that happened, I don't know that we're going to have an exact interpretation or explanation. And I don't think it's necessary. I just know that sometimes when we connect and we're in right place at right time, we open doors. And by you doing that yourself, you're sharing it right now. Someone else might identify and say, wow, this relates to me. And that's how we heal each other and ourselves, is by going into that state of allowing and recognizing and accepting that we have a lot more in common. Because we're all human, and these issues are human issues.
Yes, exactly. I think you are exactly right in all that you stated. And it was a huge thing for me. I think you're right, too, when you say there are probably a lot of other people out there who, hearing this, you know, can identify with certain things that they've had to carry all their lives or part of their lives and feel responsible for. And I get that. I understand what that feels like. But now I've had the opportunity to get the chance to not feel those kinds of burdens and I'll say responsibilities at some level. You know, I'm free to experience my own energy and thoughts and move forward in my life. So it's important that I share that, because I know that there are others out there who must go through that same sort of thing for whatever reason.
We're going to backtrack just a little bit when you said you heard other people's thoughts, because that makes people nervous for good reason. It's like, oh my gosh, what was I thinking?
You know, that was kind of a temporary after effect, I'll say. You know, and maybe I sort of blocked that out. But yeah, going into, you know, as life has progressed all these years, I continue to have just different things happen. For example, for whatever reason, sometimes people ask me to help them find items of theirs that are missing or whatever. Again, this is a more recent thing that started with my sister. She couldn't find her car keys, and she said, would you be willing to try to locate my car keys? She lives in Austin. I'm up here in Colorado. So I said, well, sure. And so I just, I didn't really have to do very much. I just stopped a moment, and visions came to me, and I could see where her lost keys were. And so I directed her to go there, and sure enough, that's where they were.
You know how many people will take a remote viewing course or 10 to try and get that kind of ability to say, okay, where's this lost thing? And, you know, where'd I hide the treasure?
But that was, and that was really not anything I don't think I had consciously tried to do before. And so my sister, as a result, she ended up calling me a couple of weeks later. This friend of hers was kind of frantic because she had misplaced, she couldn't find this, she was missing her car title, which she had just gotten not very long ago. And so she said she had looked everywhere. She was kind of frantic when she was talking to my sister. So my sister told her, well, would you be open to letting me ask my sister about this? And she said, oh, yeah. And so, you know, she told me this, and I immediately got this vision. Well, first I got a vision of what this friend of hers looked like. I didn't know this lady. And I asked my sister, I said, here's what I see. Is this her? I describe it. And she said, yes, that's her. And I said, okay. I said, well, here's what I see. I saw in her house on this countertop, this, what the words that came to me, it said hodgepodge. It was this stack of papers that was hodgepodgey. That was kind of the thing. And it was just a whole bunch of different things. And I said, it's on her counter there. And I said, her missing car title is in that stack. I said, so tell her to go through there and see if she finds it. And again, you know, this was something I saw. I get this vision. It just comes in. And so we hung up. She called her. She went and looked in there. She couldn't believe it was in that stack. But yes, it was there. So these are things that just kind of randomly happen here and there suddenly. You know, it's like this other thing I can suddenly do. Another thing, I had this other friend of mine that I know, and she had gotten really sick. And, you know, it seemed like it had just been dragging on. And when I talked to her, I said, the vision I see is like you are covered up by boulders. It's like you're just under this giant rock slide of boulders. But I said, what I see is that you eventually are going to completely throw off these boulders, and you would be completely free of this illness. And sure enough, in a couple of weeks, it all got worked out. And now, you know, she doesn't even have any leftovers from that illness. Again, you know, it was this vision that I had. I also have dreams sometimes that tell me what's going to happen. And this one dream I had not very long ago, which we live up here in the mountains in Colorado, and there was a big fire that broke out last summer up in the mountains, and it just continued to get bigger and bigger. And so I worried about the property that I had up there. You know, I asked for my friends all to envision that it was going to go elsewhere or stop or whatever. But I had this dream, and essentially, I dreamed that this sports car that I used to own, that I had suddenly come to a screeching halt in front, right in front of these railroad tracks. And this train was just going out of sight. And I jumped out of the car because essentially, I mean, there were only a couple of inches before I would have been, you know, hit.
The rest of the story in the next break. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Okay, we stopped right there in the middle of the story with the train on the tracks. Author Paula Lenz is my guest.
I jumped out of the car and I looked across to the other side of the road, the same side that I was on, and I saw this person there. And I started screaming at this person. I said, "You're the reason I almost got hit." And when I woke up, I knew that this dream was telling me that this fire up in the mountains was going to come really close to the property that I owned up there, but that it was not going to hit my property. And by me seeing this person, I knew that a person started that fire. I didn't get an indication if it was on purpose or accidentally. I don't know that. Mm-hmm. But I knew, because there was a person there, that someone started that fire, which they've never revealed exactly how it started, but they're pretty sure it did not start by lightning. And so it was still a number of weeks before they got everything finally put out. The fire line that they developed, where they put the fire out, stopped a mile and a half from my mountain property. And I just recently actually saw that where it had stopped, because we had hiked up a higher mountain section that's behind that property, and for the first time could see the actual fire area where it all stopped. And when I saw where it had been stopped, I was like, wow, This was so close. But those are the kinds of things, you know, that continue to go on. And even back in 2004, I recalled a dream that I heard this voice in my dream. That's all it was. It was a voice. And it said, "Paula, it's time. First Austin, then Brian." And then I woke up. And this happened in May of that year. And I thought, what in the world is this all about? I had no idea why I was hearing this. But at that time, my dad had been very sick for about a year. We had to put him in like an assisted living place. It was really a nice place, but I would go and see him and everything. But so that month of May, I just kind of forgot about it. I just thought, I don't even know why I'm hearing this. But my sister, I ended up driving over to see her in Austin. And then a week or two after that, I drove to my hometown of Bryan and came back and that was, you know, to see my dad. Well, a week after I had gone to Bryan, which is where my dad was located, my dad passed away. Then I knew that an angel or spirit, that message I had gotten, was giving me the timeline. They were trying to show me and prepare me. First Austin, which is where I went to. Then Bryan, I went to Bryan. And then after that is when my dad passed on. Again, it's just, I just never know what's going to come through or even how it's going to come through.
Yes, yeah.
Sometimes it's dreams. Sometimes I just, I get visions. Sometimes, I'm told things. The other thing, too, I'd like to mention is sometimes people who have crossed over come through to me. For example, this one friend of mine, kind of weird because I hadn't talked to her in years. We were good friends in high school and through college. And then she had gotten married. She and her husband are in Arizona. But I decided to give her a call and reconnect with her. When I was talking to her, and she was telling me how she had this tremendous sense of guilt about related to her mother's passing, because she felt like she should have done more. Although knowing her, I know she did everything she could. The problem was that Debbie's sister, she actually could hear messages from her mother coming through. And Debbie was all upset because she couldn't. I think that's why she continued to carry all this guilt around with her. So as she's telling me these things on the phone, suddenly I can see Debbie's mother right at my right shoulder. And she could see how all these stones were piled up like a wall in front of her daughter's heart, and that this was blocking her ability to hear messages from her mother. And that she told her that Debbie needed to accept that she had made the best decision she could have with the information that she had at that time. You know, as I'm telling Debbie this, because I'm like, your mother's right here with me, and here's what I'm getting. And she directed her to let go of all these things and to stop crucifying herself, because those obstacles were blocking Debbie's heart. So after that, she sat down and like wrote a letter to her mother and like letting go of all the regrets. And that later, Debbie told me, suddenly she could connect and feel her mother around her.
Yeah.
And she was just absolutely joyous. So, you know, it's just a wide variety of kinds of ways and the information type that will suddenly come through to me for whatever reason.
And so when you're clearing the boulders away for her, for the one woman, for the illness, and again, that wall in front of the woman's heart, these kinds of things you're sharing give us another clue how we can heal ourselves. And so I think the most important part of your experience is you sharing it.
Yeah. And so, you know, my life ever more becomes about helping other people. And it's one of the things I stated in my book in the foreword that, you know, the driving force of writing my book was to share these sorrows that I had experienced, but really to help others make it through those kinds of things and be able to move forward in life. And so for me, whatever I can do or whatever seems to come through for helping people, then I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
Because it fulfills this sense of my purpose right now in life.
You do have, there's at least one video I know of because I posted it on the blog when we talked last time. But the website,
yes,
too.
They can just type in, you know, with www.paulalensauthor.com. There should be a tab that's called contact or something like that. And anyway, there's a little space there where people can send an email to me if they've got a question or something. But there, like I said, there is additional information there, yes.
For anyone who's listening, guess what? You can go to the website, paulalensauthor.com. See, there you go. Or Google.
Yes.
Our friend. I appreciate talking with you, and it's nice to catch up. And no, I have no idea what we talked about, but I'm glad that it was a spark, and I'm not going to take credit because you did all the work.
Well, that's why I was really excited that we could have another interview, because it was just important to me to sort of, I'll say, close the circle in terms of coming back to, here's what happened. I want to let you know as you and I were talking, and how this has led to even a bigger way that I can help people.
Thank you. I appreciate knowing that. Thank you. Check out Paula Lenz, author, and the book is a really interesting book because it talks about the connection with her brother and how that transpired into a shared death experience, which is very unique. Thank you for listening. You can check out my information, Wendy's Coffee House, the blog. I also have another one, talkingtonightlights.com, another couple of blogs. So check those out. All the interviews are in the podcast. I will repost the one that we did before, along with information on today's show at Audio Boom.